Opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Curry will handle it down to Thompson, wing right. Clay with a reset of the shot clock gives to Draymond Green. Draymond works on Adams, goes right to his chest, and another contact foul. This one is on Adams, who got the worst of that. He got hit below the belt by Green inadvertently again, and Adams is down, kneeling on the floor. And this big guy is nearly impervious to contact, but man, that buckled him. And he's on the floor right now, just trying to get his breath back.
I did it later in the game where I got fouled and my right leg went up. I always do it. Russell said I did it on purpose, but he's a part of the superstar group that started all this acting in the NBA. I didn't, so I sold the call. He called me that way. I sold the call.
Well, I'm sure the Thunder got a kick out of winning that one. Now let's let the punishment debates begin. Hold the door. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. No AJ today. We'll tell you about that in just a second. Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. Today, it's at Barry is funny. At Jong Snow with a zero. He's changed it on me again. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and it's a Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend, and it's going to be a very special edition of the Blitz today because AJ's off, and always fun to have Barry Laminack in. What's up, Barry?
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Fan-freaking-tastic, my friend. Fan-freaking-tastic. Yeah. How was your weekend?
Long and interesting. I spent 4 days in Austin surrounded by hippies and comics, and it was fun, I guess. No TV. That drove me nuts.
No TV.
No.
But you had hippies, so you probably had weed, right?
No. I had no hippie lettuce. I had no alcohol. I had nothing. I had a 12-pack of Diet Coke and a SimCity to tend to, and that was it. That was it.
Man, that sounds like being in prison for 4 days.
Especially
in Austin, where you should be out doing stuff.
Yeah. No, that's it. I would go do gigs at night, do comedy at night, and just build a SimCity all day. Living the dream.
Well, happy to have you today. AJ's off. Always fun when we can have Barry or Mike from the Sunday show come up and do this one with us because they do a great job. If you haven't heard it, you should be checking it out on Sundays because what else are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're driving to church, okay, listen to them. If you're doing the walk of shame from the night before, go ahead and turn your radio on and listen to them. So that's a cool time slot. I know of a really good show that got its start there. So
I've heard rumors. There's rumors abound.
Well, before we get to the basketball and kicking people in the groin, I have to apologize to the people today.
Uh-oh.
I have become a hypocrite about something. I'm extremely embarrassed to admit this. I've always said that one of the things that drives me nuts is graduations for things that aren't high school or college. Like preschool graduation, and it's almost like first grade graduation. Every level now, there's a graduation. And when you have kids, you'll deal with this, trust me.
Never.
It probably
don't
a wise
put
decision.
That evil on me, Fred. Well, I'll never have kids. Ever.
And to be fair, mine have turned out really well. Yeah, my son's going to next fall. He's gotten to the honors program, which I never did. And my daughter graduated from eighth grade today. And I'm not going to go. And it's like, man, it's my daughter. I got to go. So I go, and all these people are so excited, and they're waving to their kids and taking pictures. And I'm just sitting there going, dude, you realize they got 4 more years, right? This is just and then of course my daughter walks out, and then what am I doing? Standing up, taking pictures, waving, hey, caved. What's up? And then really cool though, when she got her little, I guess, certificate of completion, because certainly, it's not a degree, guys. It's junior high, but she's walking across and she got an award for another thing that I've never accomplished is she got an award for excellence in broadcast journalism.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
Which, obviously, she didn't get that from me. But, so for every time I've made fun of those, I humbly apologize. I was wrong. I had fun. It was cool seeing.
I somehow feel like if she went to the University of Phoenix and graduated, this one would still feel better than that one. Because they probably just like mail her a picture of a diploma and a cap and gown.
Well, I think they do it virtually. Yeah, you like, yeah. Put on a cap and gown and you get on Snapchat or whatever and say, congratulations, here's your University of Phoenix degree.
You just walk across the living room with your laptop or your phone in your hand. Yeah. You'll still be more proud of the eighth grade graduation if that's the route she goes. I promise.
No, that's not going to happen. She's going to do real fine.
She's obviously, real well, she's winning awards already.
Yeah, they're both smart. They're way too smart. I honestly think that probably the pizza guy was very smart and just one of those guys that had bad luck or something. But I always make fun of that. And I make fun of my friends who go to them. So, all right, I was wrong.
Did you have like a graduation party? Did you do the whole?
No. They had a thing afterwards, but I had this radio show to do. So
okay.
I decided to come in and do that.
All right. Well, but that's good. So
anyway. So, yeah, broadcast journalism.
Wow.
She's got more awards in that than I do. Probably deservedly so. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. All right, let's talk about the kick that... by the way, we will do Game of Thrones at 5:30 today, even though AJ's not here. We'll also probably hit it again tomorrow when he's here, but we will do a Game of Thrones recap. I'm going to save Banshee for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mainly because Barry hasn't seen it yet.
Oh, I can't believe you got me hooked on this show.
It's fantastic.
It is.
You're going to miss it.
I am.
Yeah, it's...
I don't mind if you spoil it. If you want to talk to
it, we'll save it for tomorrow because... Okay. You know, I want AJ to be here for that because that's kind of, you know, that show we've been pumping up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it was fun seeing all the responses from people. But let's talk about Draymond Green and his kick to the nuts. And yeah, and of course, everything I see today online, everything is, should Draymond Green be suspended? Dude's dirty, but it's really hard for me to judge intent in a situation like that. If the guy's on the ground and you just walk up and kick him in the nuts, yeah, you intended to. In that situation where you're kind of falling down and you're trying to sell the foul, I could see an instance where that wasn't intentional. And so there's no way to really know unless you get inside the guy's head. I am not for suspending players in the playoffs unless it is blatant and you can prove it. Because the reason for that is a one-game punishment in the playoffs is extremely punitive. In a regular season, who cares? One out of 82. You get into a seven-game series where every one of those games matters, and you take a player out for a game, that can impact the entire series. And I think it needs to be something serious. It needs to be blatant. And I'm not a fan of guys being suspended for playoff games unless you can prove that he did it intentionally. And I don't know how you can do that unless you talk to him and he says, oh, yeah, I meant to kick him in the balls.
But aren't they doing this already, though? Aren't they suspending guys for things that, to me, some of these, the one in the Toronto series, didn't look nearly as bad?
No, well, and that's the thing. In general, I oppose that, especially in playoff series. You got to let them play a little bit. If they break the rules, they break the rules. But to me, you need to prove intent because it's not the same thing as, you know, as the regular season. When you suspend a guy for a playoff game, you could cost that team a game that might eventually cost them the series. So it needs to be, to me, it needs to be clear. There needs to be no doubt about it. And, you know, I know a lot of people like to say, well, if it's a suspension in the regular season, it should be a suspension in the playoffs. It's not the same punishment. It's the equivalent of a 10-game suspension in the regular season.
In this particular case, I think you're right in that, you know, Kiki Vanderway, who's making the decision, could really ultimately decide how this series goes if he chooses to suspend Draymond Green. I'm not saying the Warriors fold like a tent, but their chances drop significantly by missing one of their best players, as opposed to like Cleveland, who lost Dante Jones.
Right.
It's a little bit different. You hate to lose anybody, like you said, in the playoffs.
Well, and as the texter said, for the purposes of consistency, because of the Jones suspension, I think they have to suspend him one game. And that gets back to my point. I wouldn't have suspended Jones either.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do these things and be consistent with what you do in the regular season, then let's do away with the one-game suspension. Let's suspend him for a half. Let's suspend him for a quarter. And that way, that at least, you're not changing everything. That's all.
Yeah, I can see that. It's tough, though, because, you know, if you've set a precedent a long time ago, too. You had the James Harden suspension with his, right? I mean, at some point, you're either going to rewrite the rules or you're just going to have to be consistent with it. And that's why I think he'll be gone. I think there's his look. To me, it looked way more blatant than some of the others that I've seen. recently, which I don't even know how this became a thing.
No, it looked bad. There's no question it looked bad. And I just don't know how you can say that was intentional and you're guessing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And look, I don't like the guy. I think Draymond Green is a turd of the first order.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's gotten away with it now. And now the more these series get tight, the more he looks like a turd. But, you know.
I don't think they have a choice, though, now. With all the suspensions that they've had, there's really not, I think it's going to happen.
I think you're right. I think big picture, they need to take a different look at suspensions in the playoffs.
In the offseason, maybe consider.
Yeah, and look at how, because it really isn't, it's not, and yeah, it's the player's fault for doing it. But that impact, and same thing was happening with some of the hockey games when guys get a game suspension for a bad hit. Again, that is much more punitive than in the regular season. Now, you might argue that it should be, that in the playoffs you need to make sure everything's on the up and up. But for me, I just don't think it's, I don't think it's consistent with what happens all year.
Yeah, it definitely has a bigger impact.
And Corey says, when you kick a man in the peaches, it can affect the outcome of a series, too. And you know what? I think a suspension should also, if a guy's hurt and can't play because of something like that, then yeah, the suspension should match what you did to the other guy. But
oh, well, that's a slippery slope, right?
It is, but
if it happens to a scrub, if a scrub goes down and says, well, I'm going to sit out two games because of this, and now Draymond Green would have to sit out two games, I like your idea of a quarter, a half, something like that. I think that's a great way to do it, especially in the playoffs.
Well, it's 409, it's not the league's fault that Green kicked him, so don't blame the league. It's Green that is hurting the team, not the NBA, by suspending him. I'm not blaming the league. I'm just saying these rules are inconsistent, and they should be addressed. And yeah, if he gets suspended, he's hurting his team. But the playoffs is a different animal, and I don't understand why people can't see that. That it's not the same as what happens in the regular season. All right, let's take a quick break. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. 832 says Adam should be able to kick him back. Eye for eye penalty. I'm all for that. Rather than a suspension, just let Adams haul off and knock him in the stones there and see how he responds. He might wind up missing a game anyway.
That's true.
Chris saying, Draymond flopping around got the tables turned on him with that kick. Also attacking Westbrook about flopping also does not help his case trying to maintain his innocence. Oh, he clearly flopped and then did some damage on the way down. I'm not defending the guy. I think he's a turd. I go on record as saying that. But I also just, I don't like suspensions in the playoffs unless you know the guy did it on purpose. So,
yeah, intent is hard to understand. You can't get inside somebody's mind. But I do like the fact that he tried to cover it up by saying, well, I did it again later. It's almost, I just felt like, I got the feeling as soon as he said that somebody came to him and said, hey, go do it again, and then you got a cover story. Just throw your leg up later. You got a great cover story.
I love the whole, well, I was trying to flop defense.
Yeah. Yeah. So. What he said about Westbrook was pretty sweet, too, wasn't it? Throw him under the bus.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's his fault.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Nice defense, Draymond. Yeah. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. We'll grab some phone calls today. Since we weren't able to on Friday, we were out at Quaker Steak and Lube. That was a lot of fun. Let's grab Robert to lead things off today. What's up, Robert?
Hey, sports guys.
What's up, man? Sports to you.
Yeah, I have a question. And maybe it's just me, but is something wrong with Dallas Keuchel, or is he just hittable because everybody's, you know, he's a Cy Young winner and they're starting to study him more? Like, is there really something going on, or is he just struggling right now?
He's struggling right now, but I think there's a lot of reasons. I think Keuchel's struggling, and without him every fifth day going out there and winning games for him, it's killing him. I'm about ready to admit that this team's dead. I'm almost at that point because unless he's not showing any signs of turning things around and his velocity doesn't look the same, I you know, I always, when a guy gets a decent contract, I mean, he didn't get the big contract that he could get if he kept focusing, but he got a pretty nice contract this year. I'm always suspicious when they come back and they're not as good. Maybe they didn't put in the work in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I thought about. Like, when you look at Harden and the way he came in, he looked out of shape to me.
Yeah,
he had a great MVP-type season and looked bad because I think he thought he didn't need to work as hard. I don't know if that's the case with Keuchel, but what scares me, and this is all speculation, but what scares me is he covering up an injury? Because a lot of times right. in this sport, especially with pitchers that'll be as dominant as he was last year, when this starts to happen to them, it's usually because of an injury. So I don't know if he's hiding something. He's obviously hurting the team if he is, and he should just, you know, get it taken care of. But I've also seen schools of thought where maybe he's just nibbling. Maybe he's trying to be too careful or too perfect up there at the plate because he's not going to blow anybody away.
No, but his control, he's always been about control, and he doesn't have it this year.
No.
And basically, they're just teeing off, and the fact that he's getting blown out at home, then somebody says Tombstone Day is June 1 on the Astros. Usually that's what I wait until, but yep. I think I've seen enough body of work that I don't see where this team is going to turn it around, especially when you look at really the whole pitching staff has been awful. I don't know. I'm not seeing much hope for this team at this point.
No, I was going to give them to the end of May, but I mean, if you wanted to call it now and pull the plug, I'd probably be all right with that because I just don't. They have so many problems. So I saw this. If you look up and down the lineup, Altuve's hitting above 300. The next highest average in that order is like 254.
Yeah, basically, what they are is what they were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
If you go and look at the way this team is not producing. It's basically Altuve and a bunch of stiffs. And I'm not quite ready. I'm not quite yet. Maybe by the end of the week, I'll be ready to write them off.
You might as well just get it over with.
Well,
all you're doing is delay.
Well,
Doug Fister is their best starting pitcher. You are delaying the inevitable, Fred.
Yeah, that's probably true. But I do have, I have another thing that I am going to make a stand on later today, so uh-oh. I don't know if I want to do both today.
Okay.
Where I'd totally write off the Astros and do this.
Uh-oh.
Involves Game of Thrones, 5:30.
Okay.
We just have to wait until then. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Gilroy asked, do you think they regret the Giles Velasquez trade? It sure hasn't worked out so far. I don't think, in retrospect, if you knew that Giles was not going to be very good, you'd regret it. The only thing I didn't like about that trade was that they did include Velasquez, who I liked. I said that at the time, but I didn't mind the trade. That's why you have those assets, is to go out and get somebody who you thought was exactly what you needed. He hasn't been that. Velasquez has been pretty damn good. But, let's look up at the end of the year before we can judge that.
Yeah, I mean, he's 5-1 right now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to have that right now? That'd be pretty
sweet. Nice. Yeah, and that was the only thing I wasn't crazy about when they did that, because I liked his stuff. I thought, for a guy who had had a pretty severe surgery, he had a live arm, which they need, and obviously that was one of the guys they had to have in there to make it happen, but they gave up so much else. I would have been fine if they left him out of that trade, but oh well. That's again, those are hard to judge, though.
It is.
Just, right now, it's not working.
I think that, in retrospect, you look at the moves and you think, man, they gave up a lot and they're not getting any return on the Gomez deal, on the Ken Giles deal. But to me, at the time, I didn't second guess either of the moves. It was like, okay, they needed to do this. They needed to go out and get an anchor in the bullpen. It just didn't work out. And sometimes trades don't. And it's unfortunate, but you got to give up something to get that. And they did, and it's backfired.
Andrew sent a picture on Twitter and says, Draymond is looking down while kicking. Looks intentional to me. Hashtag dirty. Hashtag intentional. Okay, you're guessing that it's intentional. That's the thing. Well, you're using whatever you can to say, all right, I think it's intentional. You don't know. Neither do I.
Yeah.
Do I think it was intentional? Probably. But I can't prove it. And I don't think you can unless you actually are inside the guy's head. Or it's a situation where, if he's on the ground and he walks over and kicks him in the nuts, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I think you know what's going on. And it's really hard in these situations. I mean, you're basically just having an opinion on whether or not you think it's intentional or not. Is that enough to suspend the guy? In my mind, it's not. In your mind, it may be.
He did a good enough job of camouflaging it enough to make it look like he might have been flailing or you couldn't definitively say, oh, he totally did that on purpose. I mean, My opinion is he did.
Yeah, but I think he did, yeah. But I'm not going to suspend him because I can't prove that. Hold the door on the Astros until June 1st. Yeah, yeah. Julian says, Fred, thanks for the write-up on the Preakness. Made some coin. Yeah, I do want to... I hope everybody followed along on that because we pretty much hit every single bet that we made on the Preakness and
nice.
Everything that I wrote up. So hopefully you guys cashed on that, made up for the Derby. It wasn't a huge score, but it was a damn good score. And the race went almost exactly the way I thought it would. So, congratulations to everybody who punched those tickets.
Congrats to you for nailing it.
Well, I was saying all week, Cherry Wine was going to run second or third at a big price, and he got up for second right at the end. And the wet track helped Exaggerator, just like we talked about it all week. And it was one of those, especially, and Nyquist is a really good horse, but I don't think it was the off track that got him. For some reason, they thought they had American Pharoah. They thought they had some super horse, and they could send him to the lead and go through and basically just, okay, make him come catch us. Well, they went way too fast early. It was like the fastest opening quarter in the history of the Preakness. Going a mile and 3/16, you can't do that. So I think it was a really bad tactical decision on the part of the trainer for Nyquist to go out there and just act like nobody could beat you and you can go as fast as you want early, and that cooked him off. And frankly, the horse ran a hell of a race to hold on for third. But looks like they're both going to be back for the Belmont, and we'll make some more money there. 713-780-ESPN. 409 asked, do you wish Jeff Bannister was the Astros manager? That's a hard one for me because I went to high school with Jeff. So I'm a big fan of Jeff's. I would have loved to have seen him.
So we're already bailing on AJ Hinch now?
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, wow. Gotta love Houston. Boy, oh boy.
People are frustrated. And I've been saying, I've been saying all year, it's hard with baseball. And people here aren't used to having a good baseball team. So they've really forgotten that you go through these ups and downs.
Yeah.
And
although... they've been down for a while, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago on Sunday, where I've kind of was saying it even coming into the season, the Astros weren't really that good after May last year, and if you look at it, they were 59-59 finish the year from today.
Well, and Lamont says, Fred, the Astros are what they were last year minus a really hot month. No, they're not even that good.
No,
they're not even close to that.
No, they went
because they were a 500 team.
Yes.
And you take away that hot stretch there. Yes, there were 500 the rest of the way. They're not anywhere near 500, and they don't look like they're going to get anywhere near 500. And a streak like that wouldn't even get you to 500 right now. So, no, they're not nearly as good.
No.
Let's squeeze a couple calls on. Jeff, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, fellow sports.
Sports to you, my man.
Hey, just commenting on the Astros. Yeah, I'm disappointed too in their season, but I think last year maybe got people's expectations too high too soon. I honestly would like to see them get Gomez healthy and Valbuena and shop them, audition their talents and trade them by the deadline. They're both going to be free agents. Just get some more young guys because you can bring up Bregman at the end of the year, and then you got Reed over at first base. So it's disappointing, but I'm not freaking out. I mean, this is the beginning of the Astros window for me, I feel like. I mean, Altuve is, 25? So, they need to fix some things in the rotation, I think. But I'm not worried at all. It's disappointing, but I think Astros fans need to be patient. There's more guys coming up in the future. I'll hang up and listen.
There are, but I think the Astros fans have been damn patient. And you're right. I think they were ahead of schedule last year, and everything went right for them. And it'd be great if you could get Gomez healthy and get him hitting the ball and get something for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he said, shop Valbuena and Gomez. Who the hell would buy them at this point? Nobody is. And I think even if Gomez is healthy, which I am not convinced that they put him on the DL because he's actually hurt. I think they just needed to give the dude a break. I don't, I'm not saying he's not hurt, but it just seemed awfully suspicious that as bad as he's been, all of a sudden, let's just put him on the DL. We'll bring up somebody else and see how they do, and maybe they'll catch fire, and we can figure it out from there. I just putting him on the DL was a low risk because he already has no value.
Yeah.
So neither one of these guys do.
And it's all fine and dandy to say, oh well, when AJ Reed comes up, when this guy comes up, there's no guarantees on those guys. And at some point, maybe they'll be good players. Yeah, I know there's a lot of excitement about A.J. Reed, but there's been a lot of excitement about John Singleton. And for that matter, George Springer. I mean, he's just an okay player.
He's hitting .254. Great defense, a streaky hitter, and you're not gonna make any runs.
But that's one of your top prospects. He's supposed to be more than that.
Yeah.
936 says Astros 2016 are like Major League 2, a bunch of overachievers 1 year and suck the next. Yeah,
that's really funny.
That's right on.
I think some of it is some of these guys are regressing back to what they are. Luis Valbuena played far above what he is at the plate last year, and he's moving back to that. You could say that about Keuchel. His first 2 years in the league, he had a 5+ ERA.
Yeah, and then he had a really, really good year 2 years ago, especially the second half of the season, an amazing year last year.
Yep.
I don't think he's that, but he's not this bad.
No.
And if he is, then, yeah, you know what? Another number one pick. Woo. It'll be fun. All right, quick break. We'll get some more phone calls when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. No AJ today. Barry Laminack filling in, not Barry Warner.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he did that to me. He told everybody, well, Barry's filling in, and everyone thought it was going to be Barry Warner and lost their minds on Twitter. And then he tells everyone to send me 80s memes because I'm going to be bad, apparently.
Yeah, well.
So I got my first one.
That's all right. Just look at it this way. You're A.J. Reed, and you've got called up to the majors, and you're going to get your chance. So.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you go 4-for-4, you're still going back to the minors tomorrow.
Exactly. I don't care what you guys think. I'll see you on Sunday. Well, I won't see you on Sunday because no one listens. But still, I'll be there playing.
Yeah, people should listen.
Doing that's, what we do.
That's a really good show that you guys do, and it's on Sundays from 10 to 12, so check them out. Let's squeeze in another phone call. Is it Angel or Angel? Either one. What's up?
Sports.
Sports to you, man.
I have a question regarding the Cowboys and the Houston Texans. Who's going to have a worse season, the Cowboys' defense or the Texans' offense? I'll hang up on this.
Huh. Well, that was a completely random question. Wow. Yeah. I think any conversation about the Cowboys, whether it's defense or offense, comes down to one simple thing. Is Tony Romo healthy? If Tony Romo's healthy, the Cowboys are going to be really good. And who cares if their defense is better than the Texans' offense? Why do you guys even care about that? That is seriously, man. That's like me saying I care about Grey's Anatomy. What the hell? What does one have to do with the other? Seriously,
it's Cowboy fan reaching for something to grasp to be able to say, aha.
See,
we got you on something.
That's
or it's Texan fan doing it.
Well, no, usually either it's Cowboy way. Well, fan. It's both. I mean, yeah. I watch Facebook. I see how you guys, and it's Cowboy fan in Houston. It's not Cowboy fan in Dallas. Cowboy fan in Dallas could care less about
Houston.
Couldn't care less. Excuse me. But Cowboy fan in Houston is. I mean, they have more penis envy than Texans fan has of Cowboy. It's embarrassing.
Actually, they're kind of like Aggie fan when it comes to UT. A
little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. And that's coming from an Aggie fan. That's pretty sad.
It's funny to me because, you know, I I'll see them go after each other. And it's, why do you care? You play once every 4 years. So, yeah, but I have to live in Houston. Well, you know what? If you hate it that much, move back to Dallas. All right,
I will say this in defense of Houston. As a lifelong Houstonian born and raised here, I grew up hating the Cowboys and the Steelers because we kind of had to. Like, that was the rule. You had to, in my house, you had to hate the Steelers and you had to hate the Cowboys because the other half of our family was obnoxious Cowboy fans. So it was kind of ingrained in me. It's in my blood. But as I started into sports radio, I had to get rid of it and become more neutral. And so now I see how ridiculous both sides are. But I see how people grow up hating one side or the other, especially Cowboy fans down here. I get it.
I don't. I really don't. And well, there's three things I get. Cowboy fan who is jealous of Texans fan for some reason. Texans fan who seems to think there's a rivalry with the Cowboys, because there's not. You know, there is between the fans. There's nothing on the field.
No, no.
And then the trifecta of what I a fan BS is Titans fan who followed the team to Tennessee and stayed with
them. Oh, those are the worst.
Because
kind
you
of
were
people.
basically now, once all those guys were gone, you were just a Bud Adams fan. Now you're not even that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the one where your wife leaves you and goes off with some ugly fat guy, and you're still trying to get her back.
Yeah.
That's what
you
that is.
You can't tell me you liked Steve McNair and Eddie George that much that you just blindly and stayed with the Titans long after they didn't play for him anymore. It's just, it was ridiculous. And they're still, it's funny now because you don't see from them or hear from them nearly as much as you did at the time or shortly after when they had some success. So,
yeah.
Very interesting.
512 asking, just in the quarterback position alone, what are the minimum stats needed by Brock if the defense stays healthy for the Texans to make a run at the playoffs? I don't think you can put a specific number on what the stats are, because I think they're going to run the football a lot. If they're effective, if this offense is any good, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over and keeps drives going, if he does better than what Brian Hoyer did last year, 22 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, I think they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I think if he can stay out of the top third in turnovers, he's going to give them a good chance. Because, I mean, everything else is just, it's just numbers. But, yeah, turning the ball over is going to be key for them.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole key to the season for the Texans. If they're right about this guy and he's good, then they're going to be a very good team. And if they're wrong about him, then they're probably going to be around 500 and suddenly people's jobs are going to be in jeopardy. All right, let's try Nate. What's up, Nate?
Sports, guys.
Sports to you, man.
Hey, man, I want to say, Barry, I saw you at the joke joint a while back, and I you're the reason I don't go back.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Oh, gosh.
I'm glad you got a taste of success, man. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, is it just me or does you look like the dentist from The Hangover?
You really need to let me help you write some of these. I look more like McLovin than the dentist from The Hangover.
I mean, right. I can kind of see that.
I look like McLovin's dad.
And I think maybe if McLovin and the dentist from The Hangover had sex,
yeah,
you might.
Okay,
you might be the offspring.
I hate to admit it, but it's not the first time somebody has said that I look like that dude. I don't know his name, but it's not the first time.
Hmm. So you have all your teeth though. You haven't pulled one.
Yeah, no.
And you haven't gone Hangover 3 yet and gotten female breasts, as far as I know.
Well, if I don't stop eating the way I'm eating, I will.
Yeah, that's all right. That's what happens, man.
Well, it was no 80s meme, but it certainly was appreciated.
If you want to follow Barry on Twitter, it's Barry is Funny. And yeah, he just to be fair, if you're going to have that Twitter handle, you damn well better be funny.
Yeah, I make no.
That's your website
about
too, right?
Yeah, that's my website. That's all. Yeah.
Okay.
It's my whole marketing package.
Don't fail.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, if you come on here and you're boring, people are like, well, really? Barry is lame. They're going to start coming up with all kinds of other hashtags.
Oh, I've heard them all. I've heard they have already. Anytime I'll make a joke that somebody doesn't like on Twitter, inevitably I immediately get a reply that says, Barry is not funny is available. Okay, well, that's been done 1,000 times, so thanks.
Well, let's see if we can be more creative than that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN. Texter asking, Fred, did I see you at the Maple Leaf Pub yesterday? Yeah, actually, we went to watch... This is the problem with being married to a Canadian.
Uh-huh.
Any national tournament that they play hockey in is a big deal to her, including the World Championships, which are a bunch of scrubs whose teams didn't make the playoffs. And so the finals of the tournament were yesterday, and the only place that was showing it, because it wasn't on TV for some reason, it was all the semifinals and quarterfinals were on TV, but the finals weren't. So I went to Maple Leaf to watch it, and there were a bunch of people from Finland there, too, because that's who they were playing. And Canada won. In a very close game, and then we wound up hanging out with one of the Finns afterwards. Neat people. So, yeah, I was there. It was fun. Just for my beer friends that like that 1836, the Maple Leaf has a version of it that's aged in maple that's only done for the bar. It's very good.
Now I'm a – is it the same as, like – because I'm a Crown drinker. Have you ever had Maple Crown?
I have not.
Ugh. It tastes like – just syrup that'll get you drunk. Is that the same?
No. Okay. It's very subtle. I mean, it still tastes like 1836 with just a little okay. heavier and a little hint of it in there. And it's very, very good.
All right.
Highly recommend. All right. Going to take a very quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Barry Laminack filling in for AJ today. The HD show hits the road on Mondays. Join Fred Davis and Henry Thomas as they broadcast live from Max Place in Spring. Located on Luetta, Max Place is offering 35-cent wing specials with $4 Crown, Jaegers, Tuakas, and Sailor Jerry's. Come by and turn Monday into Funday with the HD show. And, Jong, I officially still cannot eat wings. I may never eat them again.
I'm craving some wings, actually.
Really? Well, good for you. But you guys totally have killed my taste for wings.
I missed it. I saw the live, but I didn't pull it up on my phone.
Yeah.
Was it bad?
Yes, it was bad. And it sounded innocent enough. AJ and I are going to kill 100 wings off between us in a 3-hour show. We did it in about an hour and 45 minutes.
Okay. AJ probably ate like 90.
No, he did 50 and I did 50.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Good.
And no, not good.
Yeah.
Not good at all. And we had to do it on the break. So we're having like 8 or 9 or 10 every break. And by the time we got to the end, man, they were at the bottom of the bucket. They'd been there all day, and they were
cold.
They were cold. They were congealed and gross. And I'm kind of and I'm having to force them down anyway at that point. And I would just highly recommend if you're going to do a wing challenge and try to eat 50 wings, just drop the idea.
I once ate 64. I did. We did a wing challenge like that, and I did my 50. It was who could eat all 50 in the fastest, and then I ended up finishing somebody else's in the challenge and did 64. And I was meat drunk. I was literally drunk on chicken. Like, I felt dizzy. I would have rather have walked home because we were at work. We drove back, and every bump I felt like I was just going to vomit, and it was terrible.
Yeah, I honestly felt like I was going to throw up for 2 days.
Yeah. Did you get to pick your own flavor, or did they give you?
Yeah, no, I picked my own flavor, and I love the flavors.
What would you go with?
I went with the bourbon flavor. And I went with barbecue. Okay. And my big mistake with the barbecue was eating those second because the barbecue sauce was really heavy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now, I mean, maybe it wasn't the wrong thing to do it second. I don't know. I just felt like such garbage for so long that I felt like everything was the wrong thing.
And, John, you did the hot wings, right?
Yes, I was.
How'd you do? I didn't see it. I missed it. I'm sorry.
I ate them all.
Rehashing old stuff. You did?
I ate them all, but...
Did you cry? Did you do it like a big girl, or did you...
No, I was... Excuse me. I was.
Got heartburn. Excuse me.
I was pretty prepared. They let me have milk and ice cream.
Oh, that's not. That's cheating.
Is that cheating?
Yes.
They told me not to use ranch because it was according to AJ, it was a girl move. So I didn't use any ranch.
White girl move specifically.
Yes, white girl move.
is that what this specific move?
Yes. It was.
Yeah.
Not just a girl move, a white girl move.
And he offered me some advice. He told me to wear gloves, and I wore gloves.
That's smart.
And he told me to take the meat off the bones,
which
was another good advice. And the last advice was don't touch them on your lips. Kind of take the meat and just shove them in your mouth, avoiding the lip area. So I did all that, and I did pretty well. But the next morning...
That was my next question.
It burned.
So that day you did great. How did you do the next day? Because that's when it really...
It hurt.
That's when you... I did the blazing from a place, and it was tough, but I didn't regret that decision until the next day. Is that when you regretted it?
I've had worse, but...
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, but it hurt.
Yeah?
And I forgot that I ate the wings. So when it came out, I was like, what did I eat yesterday? And then I was like, oh,
why do
damn
I want to take off this middle part and just sit in the water? What is happening right now? Yeah, that'll happen.
97 Sun Devil says, please don't spend more than 30 seconds on Tom Brady today, but is the NFLPA or Brady that keeps pushing this? Okay, we all know my opinion of this whole thing. So instead of that, for the win, had 5 things from the sports world that did not last as long as Deflategate. So I'd like to share those with you. As of today, it's 491 days old.
Wow.
Number one, 7 times longer than Kim Kardashian's second marriage. It's longer than Lane Kiffin's tenure at Tennessee, which was 1 year, 1 month, and 13 days. It's longer than Scott Skiles coaching the Orlando Magic. It's longer than Brett Favre's 2009 retirement. And basically a whole bunch of NFL coaches' times with the team, including Pete Carroll with the Jets, Jim Tomsula with the 49ers, Richie Pettibone with the Redskins, Art Shell with the Raiders. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. And also significantly longer than my first marriage and the half marriage combined. So that is how long this has lasted.
Wow.
So
that's
yeah.
That's mind-blowing when you actually read those. It's like, holy crap. This has outlasted a bunch of coaches. That's
yeah. Yeah. This whole
and your marriage. Yeah.
And frankly, I don't care who's pushing it at this point and who keeps trying to do it. It's not going to go away until people quit talking about it. So I'm just not going to talk about it.
Yeah, sorry. I don't care. What baffles me is that we have tied up United States courts with NFL
BS
problems.
It's BS. It is.
Yeah, yeah.
Over something that never should have got to this point.
No, and now we're spending, a lot of taxpayer money to figure out if Tom Brady let half a PSI or out of a ball. I mean,
yeah, who cares?
Really, this is the best that we can spend these judges' time.
We have turned a parking ticket into nuclear war.
That's right.
You know what? I think the guys at Christian's Tailgate did this on purpose, because I flip over to Twitter because I try to keep the ones that people are tweeting me and then my regular Twitter. Christian's Tailgate just tweets out, "Come hungry, 50-cent wings tonight at all of our locations with a 2-drink minimum." And there's some really nice looking wings. And Christian's does have good wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do shows there occasionally. And
I'm still
not going to eat wings.
They have an open mic I do there on occasion.
Oh, really?
I had their wings there, yeah. They do one on White Oak.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Isn't it White Oak? Yeah.
Yeah, there's one on White Oak. Yeah, there's 3 of them that I go to. Like the White Oak one is one that we love to, we take our bikes down there and get a nice, good bike ride, because it's about a 10-mile round trip. Mm-hmm. And so we'll hang out there a little bit. And then there's one downtown, which is just walking distance for us. And there's one in Midtown, which is also walking distance. So I've been to all 3.
Oh, yeah.
I like all the Christians. We've done shows at White Oak and downtown. We haven't done one in Midtown yet. So
nice. Yeah, I haven't been to the other 2, just the White Oak. It's nice. It's nice. They have a steak night and on the open mic night. Good little time. Come see a bunch of people make fools of themselves on stage. Can't beat it.
I got to come to one of your open mic nights.
Yeah.
So
it's always interesting.
Yeah, I imagine. I love all cap texters. It's about the labor and union laws, idiots. No, it's not. No, it's not.
This right now, this is about 2 sides that have dug their heels in and trying to prove that they're right.
But that's one thing that I have to say. And if you're going to all cap me, don't text the show. You're an idiot. But frankly, the whenever you try to turn NFL or any of the or baseball into labor issues, that has nothing to do with any of the real labor unions out there where people are actually working their butts off and out there negotiating. And they're not the same thing. It's not a labor thing.
No.
That's the worst part of it. I mean, but that's okay. You think what you want, and you're an 817, so you're probably an idiot anyway. All right, guys, I got to tell you, you don't want to be an idiot. You want to be smarter than this guy, right? Barry, you like taking your lady out to a nice place for a date?
Of course.
You want
any ideas?
You want to impress her?
Yeah.
You want to maybe get lucky afterwards?
Well, that would be great.
Okay, I'm gonna give you the spot, John. I'm gonna give you the spot for Teresa too. You want to impress her?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I got to tell you, best date place that I have found. Take her to the Melting Pot. It is a 4-course fondue experience, and it's really cool because you're actually deciding together what you're going to eat, and you work on these things together. The food's fantastic, and I took the wife there a couple weeks ago, and believe me, it worked. She was very excited by it, and so whether you want to take your wife, your girlfriend, or take them on opposite nights, you can do that too. I'm telling you, this is the place to go. The Melting Pot guarantees that staff will do everything possible to ensure the fondue effect works for you. You want to make a reservation, give them a call, 713-332-5546, and make sure that you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz when you call. It's on Westheimer. It's 1.5 miles west of the Galleria. And the atmosphere is great. The people there are great. The service is fantastic. And I'm telling you, man, you want to impress your lady. Or ladies, you want to impress your man. Take him to the Melting Pot. I promise you, you will thank me. Maybe afterwards, but you will thank me. 713-332-5546 for the reservations. That's 713-332-5546. That's on Westheimer, a mile and a half west of the Galleria, the Melting Pot.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.